From the VIP lounge to the gridiron, it's everything you need to know, from pop culture to free throws. This is Cleats and Cocktails with your hosts, Meg and Daniela.
Welcome to Cleats and Cocktails. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Meg. This week's episode of Cleats and Cocktails is brought to you by Westbourne Punch. This cocktail is made up of an ounce and a half of gin, an ounce of Saint Germain, which is elderflower liqueur, an ounce of grapefruit juice, half an ounce of lemon juice shaken in a cocktail shaker with ice, poured into a glass, and then topped with sparkling water.
It's good. Yeah. It's very springy.
Yeah. I like it. And it's a cute color. So I'm into that. It's like a nice peachy pink.
It's the color of everything being sold at H&M right now.
It's also like really reminds me of my wedding. The like color with the gold combo. Because we're drinking it out of glasses that have like gold details on them. So like the light pink, peachy pink with the gold. Really bringing me back.
Yep. Okay, so up this week, we're going to do our Pick 6 news stories. We have lots to talk about.
We do.
We're going to do a Top of the Pops because Meg watched every second of the Billboard Music Awards and has a lot of feelings on it.
Yep.
We're going to do some feel-good stories of the week because we haven't done that in a while and we want to make you feel good when the spring weather is finally here. And then we're going to do a reality review on the upcoming Bachelorette season, even though they still have not released the cast.
Correct. I'm not sure what that's about. Like, this is just unusual.
I know. Are they worried that people are going to hate this cast so much that they don't want to, like, give people the opportunity to formulate an opinion?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah, me too.
But we're going to jump into it because we actually have something very cool planned for it. But first up, let's jump into Pick 6.
And it's going to be a Pick 6.
So, up first this week, we're going to talk about Champions League, because as though I haven't talked about it every week for like 3 months now. So, the first leg of the semifinal took place last week. Your winners were Barcelona over Liverpool, 3-0. And Ajax beat Tottenham on the road.
Yeah.
I know.
That's exciting.
I'm full send on Ajax winning the whole thing. Unfortunately, I think they're going to get absolutely annihilated by Barcelona if both of them make it through. But, you know, I'll hold out hope. So this week, it's actually on tomorrow again, and then Wednesday, tomorrow being Tuesday. So tomorrow is going to be Liverpool-Barcelona, and they are going to be playing in Liverpool, but Barcelona won 3-0, so Liverpool has a whole lot of ground to make up.
Yep.
The other problem is that I don't think their two best players, Salah and Firmino, are playing.
Who's two best players?
Liverpool's.
Oh, Liverpool's, okay.
Yeah, so that's going to put them at a serious deficit, because Mo Salah is like 3/4 of their offense, so, I'm not optimistic about this one, unfortunately. I was really hoping Liverpool was going to make it to the final because I feel like they really deserve it, but it's not looking so hot. But you never know. Crazier things have happened in Champions League. And then Ajax and Tottenham are playing Wednesday, and they are playing in Amsterdam. So, I mean, right now Ajax is the favorite to win. If Ajax was not to score in tomorrow's or Wednesday's game, Tottenham would have to score. Would have to score in order to make it to, to force a tie, because Tottenham will be on the road. Ajax has already scored an away goal, so Tottenham will have to at least score one goal in order to keep the game going. If the score was not to change, Ajax will move on.
I'm wondering, so right now it's Monday. I leave for my trip on Thursday, and then next Sunday, so like less than a week from now, I'm seeing Barcelona.
Yes.
So by then they will have played the second leg of this. So if they win and they're going on to the finals and they're doing so well in their own league, which is what I'm going to be watching, will they actually play all their good players?
It depends. It depends on how close to the end of the season they are, whether they're going to be, whether they've secured the league title or not. A lot of times they will play. The Champions League title is quite prestigious, so you don't want your players to get cold. I would be surprised if they sat everyone and played their B squad, so I think you'll be okay. I think Getafe's in like fourth right now, so they're not a terrible team.
Right.
I hope you get to see everybody.
I know. I mean, I don't really know who everybody is, but you know.
Mostly Messi. That's the only person I care about you seeing, because he's like Jesus on the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't believe soccer is like, we're almost at the end of soccer season. I'm like devastated.
I didn't know that soccer season ended.
Yeah, it ends in like June-ish, May, June, and then they take the summer off and then they come back in like August or September.
Okay.
It's a very short off season, which the soccer players complain about, but it feels long to me.
The season feels long to me, but you know.
The season falls onto you in every sport.
It's true. It is. This is a common problem across all sports. You know. Well, I will definitely be posting on our Insta while I'm at the Barcelona game.
I'm so
maybe
excited.
Not at the game because I'm not going to have data on, and I don't know that there's going to be Wi-Fi in the stadium. And if there is, and there's like 100,000 people, it probably won't work very well.
That's fair.
So it'll be like post game, but I'll save it all up. And
so just be an onslaught all at once.
Yeah.
Update to the Insta story, 40 pictures.
Yeah, pretty much.
And oh videos. My God, do so many boomerangs.
Yes, all the boomerangs. Okay, perfect. So we are going to move into NHL playoffs. Just a brief update here on where things are at. Basically, we're still in the second round, which is where we were last week. The Carolina Hurricanes ended up sweeping the Islanders in 4 games, which was just hilarious. Because the Islanders actually swept the Penguins in the first round in 4 games, and then they just turned around and got swept.
When was the last time somebody like swept a team and then got swept? I think it's been like decades since that's happened.
Yeah. Also, Taniela was telling me something about the Islanders fans and...
Yeah, because the Islanders fans on the internet have been, like, very vocal towards Leafs fans about being like, haha, your team sucks, screw you, John Tavares, and then they turned around and lost every game afterwards. So, yeah. John Tavares and the New York Islanders won the same amount of playoff games this year.
Yeah.
Suck it, Islanders.
Really good stat. I love that, actually. That's super funny. The other series right now, so the St. Louis Blues and the Dallas Stars had game 6 last night, and they are tied 3-3, so they will have game 7 tomorrow night.
Definitely watch that if you can.
Yeah, it's been a really, like, I haven't watched a ton of it, but it's been a real back-and-forth mm-hmm. series. Like, one team wins, other team wins. Like, maybe at some point one team got up by 2, and then they caught up. Like, it's been very back-and-forth either way.
And the Blues have actually done significantly better on the road than at home.
So Which is basically the way it was in their Winnipeg series, too.
Huh.
Yeah, they were winning at like in Winnipeg.
Interesting.
And Winnipeg was winning in St. Louis. It was a whole
What does it say
thing.
About your home stadium?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. But it's going to be a really good game 7. Highly recommend watching it. The series has been very even, which has been nice. It's been like physical. It's been even. I don't know. Highly recommend.
Yeah. And then we've got Boston leading Columbus 3-2 with game 6 tonight. And we've got the Sharks leading the Avalanche 3-2 with game 6 tonight. So really, both of those series could wrap up tonight, or they could end up also going to game 7. So we'll see.
I want maximum chaos. Everyone go to game 7.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think, well, other than the Hurricanes, who are just like having a full-on rest right now, at least with the other three, if they all go to game 7, the other three series, then everyone will be equally as tired.
Yes, except the Hurricanes. Who are probably at the spa right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be.
Yeah, ditto. Like practice spa. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't do that.
I know, 100%.
Getting those like really frequent mani-pedis that we talked about before.
Yeah, because they have the money to do them.
Exactly.
Yep. Unlike us, who still haven't gotten pedicures because we still don't count it as spring yet.
Yes. So. I will be doing that on Wednesday, the day before I leave for my trip. Saving it to the last moment. Actually, the day I leave, anyways.
So,
so that's pretty much where we're at with NHL. By next week, we'll be like fully into round 3, or should be.
Wild, man.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been on so much, and yet I feel like it's going by very quickly. Although it's been on the entire month of April, and April is now over.
Yeah. We're fully in May. 6 days into May, as a matter of fact. What was I going to say? I had another thought that just left me. Oh, well. Can't be that important.
All right. Then we will hop into NBA playoffs.
Okay.
Playoffs are continuing, second round for NBA. Currently, the Raptors and 76ers are tied 2-2. Remember last week when I was like, oh my God, the Raptors look so good and I'm so scared? Remember why I said that? Yeah. Remember? And then the Raptors went on to lose 2 games in a row and it was horrifying and game 3 was terrible and I was ready to just like flip a car and go move somewhere else.
Yeah, I just want to point out that the very first game of the series where they played well and we watched together, I was wearing my Sunday Funday socks. And yesterday when they won and they played well, I was wearing my Sunday Funday socks.
You have to wear them
and the other two games I wasn't.
So it's your fault. You have to wear those socks now. Like, it has to happen. You need to bring them to Europe.
I know. I was going to say, I'll have to wear them tomorrow and then hopefully they win. And then in game 6, I'm going to have to wear them in Europe, wherever I am. What day would game 6 be on?
Like 3 days from now or 3 days from tomorrow.
They play Tuesday, so then it would be when? So Friday?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Where
yeah.
Where am I on Friday?
I don't in care. Porto. Doesn't matter. I don't care if it's 300 degrees, you're wearing those socks. I don't care if you're swimming. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's appropriate or not. Those socks need to be on.
I think I'll actually be asleep when the game's being played.
Great.
So I'll wear them to bed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if they are continue to win, you can't wash them. You can't wash the magic out of them.
Well, I've washed them in between. Oh, I wore them here. I washed them. I wore them. So now I have to wash them in between every time.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
We can't mess with a good thing, okay? Toronto sports is a very tenuous situation, okay? I mean, essentially, the only person who's doing anything is Kawhi Leonard.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
Like, if we could just make him prime minister, I think I'd be okay with that because he has been the most productive Canadian in the last month.
Right. Not that he is a Canadian, but you know.
At this point, give him citizenship.
Right.
So, I mean, it's... I don't know what to expect. The series is much more even than I was anticipating. But then again, Philly was right behind us.
It's true.
That, like, we forget that, like, that Philly was literally right there.
Right. I think because I still don't, like we talked about last week, I still don't really watch a lot of other sports teams. So, like, I would have watched a lot of the Raptors games this year, yeah, but I wouldn't have watched other random games. So, like, Philly just, like... It's not necessarily a team that you, like, hear a lot about, right? Like, the Bucks, I heard a lot about, yeah, them being so good with Giannis and, like, all of that.
Yeah.
So then, for them, for Philly, I was like, eh, whatever. But, no, they appear to be quite good.
Yeah. They're like, sort of a matchup difficulty for the Raptors. It's interesting because if they make it through and they play the Bucks, it'll be a very different matchup situation. Like, Philly's starters and Toronto's starters are both very, very good, and we both have garbage benches. So that's why they keep trying to keep all their starters out while Nick Nurse, our coach, keeps trying to sub everyone in and out, because both of our benches aren't that great. But it'll be the opposite if they play Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a lot more depth than we do, but their starting five isn't totally as good, like, in totality. Right. So it'll be really interesting. Speaking of that series, Boston won the first game, and that was, I think, last Monday we talked about that.
Yeah.
The Bucks have gone on to win both games after that. I guess they figured it out, and Boston is getting their asses handed to them. So it seems like the Bucks have sort of figured it out. I'm anticipating they're going to take the series.
Do they play again tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Also on tonight is going to be the Warriors and Rockets, the single most dramatic of all of the basketball series. It's like a bunch of divas running around the court. It's like they watched soccer and were like, I like how bitchy they all are. Let's do that too. Like, all of these people play every game and then they sit around and they bitch and complain about each other, like, over Cosmopolitans. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you saw, did you see James Harden's eye thing? Like, yeah, just the most fucking dramatic. So, like, James Harden got poked in the eye by Draymond Green, who plays for the Golden State Warriors. James Harden being the guy with the beard. And so, like, he made it, like, super dramatic. And I mean, fair. Getting poked in the eye sucks. But, like, his eye got a little bit red. And he walked around just, like, one eye, like, slightly closed. And, like, it was just really getting to him. And, like, there were so many iconic shots where he's, like, looking at the camera. And it's, like, beet red eye. And, like, he's just, it's just killing him. And He's fighting through it, though, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
So they play again 2 days ago, and he gets poked in the eye again by Draymond Green.
Right.
And, oh, my God, the post-game, everyone on the Rockets was just flipping the fuck out.
Yeah.
Bitching and complaining, how dare they, this is so dirty, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, meanwhile, hockey players get, like, a tooth punched out, and they're like, I'm just going to go quickly get that stitched up and come back for my next shift.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, James Harden's, like, eye issue, which I put in strong quotations, is, like, he's acting like he's now a member of the CNIB. You know? And, like, I don't know. Get it? They're just, all of them are so dramatic, and I don't know which way the series will go. I'm anticipating Golden State's going to win. They're currently up 2-1 in the series, but it will definitely be the most dramatic finish. Hmm. It's going to be like The Bachelorette, the most dramatic finish in history. But yeah, and then the last series up is the Denver Nuggets versus the Portland Trail Blazers, which of course I almost forgot to talk about because that neither of those teams are dramatic at all and take up none of the time on ESPN.
Right.
They are currently tied 2-2. Their series reminds me of the Dallas-Boston one for hockey in that super evenly matched, really, really fun series. They were the 2 and 3, I believe, like the 2 seed and the 3 seed, Denver being 2, Portland being 3. So it's just a really even series. The Denver barely squeaked by yesterday in their victory, but it's been really fun. I highly recommend watching it. It's one of the later series, like at night, so Megan will not be awake. But if you are, it will be on TSN. And it should be a pretty interesting fight to the finish. I wouldn't be surprised if it went 7 games. I'm not anticipating that for some of the other series, but that one, yes.
Cool.
Yeah. NBA playoffs has been fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's mostly fun because I still have a team that I like in it that I'm caring about. I was saying to Daniela before we started that I haven't really been very committed to watching NHL playoffs now that there's not really any teams left that I care a lot about. And also, like, one of the teams that I do want to do well is the Sharks, and they're on the West Coast, so I can't really watch their games because I'm always asleep.
How come?
We've talked about.
Like, I mean, why are you into the Sharks?
I think I don't really have a good reason.
Oh, they're just... You're into them?
Yeah, I just feel like it would be nice for them to win. They have Joe Thornton mm-hmm. on their team, who has he ever won a cup? Or it's just been a long time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever won a cup. And he's been in the league a long time. Seems like a nice guy.
That's true. I'm into that. Okay. Yeah. And good for you for finding a team that's not Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really like... And actually, I think when we were drafting Greg's fantasy playoff hockey team, we chose a lot of players from the Sharks. Because we kind of had to, like, choose ahead which teams we thought were going to do well. So, and I helped him a little bit. I mean, helped him, like, you know, listen to him talk and, like, gave the odd opinion. Whether he listened or not, I don't know. But a lot of the teams, a lot of the players that we chose were from the Sharks. So, that's another reason.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Sharks-Hurricanes final.
Oh, my God. I mean... That would be really fun. I think that it would be the least expected final that anyone could have possibly predicted.
Well, I mean, we're already going in that direction regardless, really,
it's
of
true.
What happens.
Actual the pure only, anarchy.
The only thing, the only one team, I think, in the final that wouldn't be surprising would be Boston.
100%.
That's the only one that could have potentially been predicted. Everyone else is going to be a complete toss-up.
Yeah,
and
I'm
I really
into
don't
it.
Want Boston to be there.
So. No, I agree. I'm ready. Like, that's the thing is... Like, without Boston, all of these other teams either haven't won a cup or haven't won it in forever.
Right.
So, it would be really fun. I'm totally into a final where, like, there's new, fresh teams in there.
Yeah. We've somehow just switched back into NHL now that we were talking about NBA.
Sorry,
you know.
NBA. The problem is that NBA, it's like Golden State's probably going to win everything again. And it just makes me sad.
Yeah, it's just very predictable.
I mean, essentially what we are the two of us are hoping for is that the Raps just make it to the finals so Kawhi stays.
Yes.
It's not even like we're anticipating anyone else besides Golden State's going to win the whole thing.
Right.
Which is frustrating.
Yes.
So, anyways, that's how we ended up back on hockey.
Yeah.
Precisely. All right.
Well, continuing with hockey, we are going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the women's hockey players mm-hmm. right now. So we've been talking a bit about them the past few weeks in terms of the CWHL, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
I can't remember now. CWHL was the league folded, and then the NWHL had...
Announced two extra teams.
Exactly. And so now, as of like last Thursday, there's actually been 200 professional women's hockey players who have said that they're not going to play in any sort of professional hockey league in North America next season unless things drastically change, and primarily being the amount they're getting paid.
I mean, they get paid like $2,000 a season.
Yeah.
The minimum contract in the NHL is $650,000. Yeah. The minimum. Like, you are the worst player in the NHL, and that's your minimum contract.
Yeah. Like, I read an article that said when the NWHL first started, or I guess when they first started paying them more significantly, they were getting paid $15,000 a season. Mm. Still not great.
No.
But better than two. But then it's since gone down. Because the league just didn't have enough money. And, So, it's pretty, like, I don't know what's going to happen, really.
I don't either. And, I mean, I totally support these women trying to make something legitimate out and using their voices to be heard. Because how else do you drive change, you know? Like, if they show up every season and continue to get paid $2,000, they can say how much they don't like it. But nothing will really change, right?
Right. Also, like, you're playing a professional sport.
I know.
But you're also having to maintain a full-time job unless you're married to some, like, rich guy who's just supporting you. But, like, financially, how are you supporting yourself?
Well, that's it. Like, do you enjoy having to be, like, a substitute teacher working? Or, like, do you enjoy having to do a second job on the side when you're an actual pro athlete?
Right.
Like, that's not right. And no one in any of the top four or, like, the big four sports or even in a lot of other minor leagues are maintaining second jobs.
Right.
Because, like, they get paid enough that they can, even if the salary isn't, like, you're rich and famous, even if it's, like, $50,000 or $60,000 a year, at least you can maintain, like, some sort of semblance of a life.
Yeah.
What is $2,000 getting you?
Seriously. And I think some of the, like, best women's hockey players may have, like, endorsement deals and other things that they're getting money from.
But it's a small pool anyways.
Exactly. Still, like, I don't know how much they would be making even from that, too, so... Still probably not enough that you can financially support yourself.
And that's also what I wonder for, like, what about all the coaches and their staffs and everything? Like, they probably don't make any money either.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. I really hope it inspires some sort of change. I hope the NHL just umbrellas them and brings them under and creates some sort of legitimate league or something to that effect, because like these women deserve better. Mm-hmm. Especially because like every 4 years, or like, you know, even every year when they do the Women's Hockey Championship, like we all of Canada wakes up and is like, oh, we expect you to win gold. So we expect you to do extremely well when you're playing in these big tournaments, but then we give you absolutely no support to continue to do well. Mm-hmm. Like, how are all of these players supposed to continue to perform at an exceptionally high level when they literally can't make this their whole lives?
Yeah, it's a good point.
So,
yeah, and I think there's like definitely, I mean, there's 200 players who have said that they're not going to play, but then there's obviously still other players who haven't formally said that. Right. I feel like they're all in the same boat in that they all want more and they all want things to be more like equal and that sort of thing. But at the same time, I think it kind of happened quickly where like all the girls like wanted this announcement to happen on like this certain day, and it was all like a big thing and it was sort of like rushed to make it happen. And then I think some of the players just weren't quite ready to commit to that yet. So I think there's more that are kind of trickling in over like the next little while who will also jump on board. They've had the...
They've had some big names come out in support, like Marie-Philippe Poulin, Kendall Coyne, who we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yep.
Poulin is actually like the Canadian captain right now. So,
yes.
I mean, these aren't no-name players. These are like people who make up the national teams are standing up strong. And you know what? They're the ones who are going to drive the change. They're the ones who have things like those minor endorsement deals, or the ones who people recognize and will stand behind.
Exactly. Yeah, and they've created a hashtag for the game. And they're using that to like try to kind of create a movement to get people on board. And the NHLPA made a statement. I mean, not that it really means much. The NFLPA also like retweeted like their stuff. So like they are getting some support from that sense. But I mean, the NHLPA and the NFLPA like are just the players' association. Yeah. It's like the union stuff, right? So like
they have ultimately, no power.
Yeah, they have no power at all. So it's nice that they're like jumping in, but.
I really hope that they can make something of this. Also, speaking of women in sports on strike, if you remember a while back, I talked about Norwegian footballer or soccer player Ada Hegerberg. She's the one who actually won the Ballon d'Or, was the first female to win it. Remember, it was the one that they asked her on stage if she could twerk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Ada Hegerberg has actually come out and is refusing to play for the Norwegian national team at the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
And saying that they don't garner enough respect and they aren't treated fairly. And so she, even though she is literally the best player in the world right now, she will not be playing at the World Cup and will not be playing for the Norwegian football team.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a huge statement.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a big deal that she won the Ballon d'Or, probably has scored a bunch in terms of endorsements and all this stuff moving forward. And she's literally taking this opportunity to use her voice and just stand strong. She's not going.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, like, go ladies.
Seriously.
Wow. Making moves.
Yeah. Well, carrying on this female athlete track.
Yes. So one of the big things that actually happened this past week, I'm not sure if people are really aware of this, but there was a massive ruling by basically the governing body of middle distance racing and like sport in general, things like the IOC or like Olympic sport and things like that. There is a female athlete named Castra Semenya. She is from South Africa. And she is hyperandrogynous, meaning that she was born with a higher level of testosterone than most females. And since she has started competing, she's been competing for a while. She is extremely successful. She's won something like 30 titles, I don't know, whatever it is. She's ridiculously good. She competes in like the 400 to 1500 meter race. She's hyperandrogynous. So if you pull up a picture of her, she has natural, like, bigger muscle build, and
she's a deeper voice.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't even know whatever governing body it is came out with a landmark ruling this week, basically saying that if she wanted to compete in those events, she would have to naturally lower, or not so naturally lower, her testosterone levels to be under a certain benchmark, more in line with other female competitors. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very controversial ruling because of the fact that Caster Semenya was born like this. She did not take performance-enhancing drugs. She has never injected herself with steroids, never extra testosterone. This is how she was born. And the thing that Meg and I had a long conversation about is the idea that when you look at something at an elite level like the Olympics, people are celebrated for being hyper-athletic. Like, I pulled up just some interesting stats about Michael Phelps because he was the first person that came to mind. And fun fact, Michael Phelps has ankles that are so hypermobile that they point back further than ballerinas when they're on point. And because he does that, he has a stronger, like, flipper-like motion of his feet, giving him an advantage. He has wingspan advantage. He has the way his legs are shorter than typical gives him better or lower drag. Like, he has all these things that make him competitively better than his peers, but he's celebrated for having a genetic advantage, and other people like Caster Semenya are told to change who they are. Mm-hmm. So it's caused a massive uproar among a lot of people because you're essentially either forcing her to retire or forcing her to alter who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. She's already come out and said she's not doing it. They literally asked her if she plans to do it, and her answer was hell no.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was I found particularly infuriating is that it's literally targeted to her events. Like, 400 to 1500 meters, which are conveniently the only ones she competes in, she now has to lower her testosterone for. All the other distances, still fair game.
Yeah. So I was saying to Taniela, like, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I had never heard anything about it before. And so my initial thought when she was explaining it to me was that, you know, I did kind of think it was a bit of an unfair advantage for her to have, like, higher testosterone levels and, you know, what would come along with that, which was, like, bigger muscle mass and apparently also, like, a higher red blood cell count. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't even, like, I wasn't thinking of the scientific specifics of it, but more so I did just sort of agree that it did feel like an unfair advantage. But then the more I thought about it, the more I just thought, but, like, what is she supposed to do then, right? Like, is she supposed, she's not going to compete with the guys because she doesn't have the level of testosterone No. that's at their level, nor does she have the other genetic makeup of Nope. males. So
she doesn't fit there.
She doesn't fit there. So, like, it just feels extremely unfair to be asking her to make that big of a change. And also, like, the way she would have to do that would be with hormonal, like, suppressant drugs. Yeah. And, like, there isn't really any for sure way of knowing what other side effects she would have of that, which could impact her in other ways. Also, when I was doing other reading about it, it basically, like, the explanation, it was an article from the New York Times, basically the explanation they gave as to why it was those specific race durations that were specifically impacted, in that, like, any female who races in these durations has to have a testosterone level of blank. It says that middle distance races are where testosterone makes a clearest difference. Like, but, like, based on what?
Based,
like,
on what?
Like, it just, if the, like, advantage is that you're able to build bigger, stronger muscles, how would that not be as big, if not bigger, issue in, like, Olympic weightlifting and high jump and long jump and, like, all of these other things. So I almost feel like I personally would feel more comfortable with it if it was across the board, like, any female Olympic athlete, like, if this is an Olympic thing, like, right, the International Olympic Committee is saying any female athlete across the board in any sport has to have a testosterone level below this. Like, I still don't think that that's good or that's solving the issue, but I think that would at least be slightly better and slightly more fair across the board versus them clearly she being the one that triggered all of this and then them just saying, like, the exact thing that she does is where this is going to come
into
play.
It's very targeted. Yeah. If she sucked, no one would care.
Right.
She would continue to compete and it would all be fine. But because she's very good, they're going to landmark rule this.
Right.
And that I have an issue with too.
Yeah.
So if she was really bad at racing, she could just continue on. But because she was very good, she now has to change herself. And, like, frankly, why? I struggle with the idea that, like elite athletes aren't like us.
Right.
You know, all elite athletes have some sort of, like, whether it's, you know, whatever their genetic makeup, they have something in them that does, like, I am not, no matter what I do in my lifetime, I will never be a middle distance runner. I will never be an anything runner because that is not my makeup. It is not what I'm born with. Mm-hmm. So, like, why is it that some people get to take advantage of their genetic attributes and other people are targeted and told to change them?
Right.
To me, that's like, you're not leveling the playing field. So should someone have gone to Michael Phelps and been like, oh, we're going to have to put clubs on your feet to restrict the amount of motion that they have so that you can't flick as fast or far back to give you less drag, whatever it is?
Right.
No, no one went up to him and did that. No one went up to the best of the athletes in the world to do whatever it is to change who they are.
Right.
But
he is also a white male.
And she is a black lesbian female.
Correct. So...
Yeah.
Well,
we have a lot of feelings on this subject.
We can probably just leave it at that,
yeah,
I would say.
I mean, if you guys have opinions, let us know. It is quite a controversial subject, and it has brought up a lot of feelings. And there's so many other facets to this, because it brought up the idea of, like, where do trans athletes fit in this? And where do other intersex athletes fit in this? But, like, it's just, I'm not pleased.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm infuriated.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, we will move on from that for now. Our final news story of today is about the Kentucky Derby, which is a horse race, for anyone who doesn't know that. Should probably say that.
It's the one with the fancy hats.
Yes. I mean, I think most of them are, but I feel like it's the fanciest.
Don't they also have, like, a massive tailgating now? Hasn't Kentucky Derby turned into this, like, weekend, like, insane party?
I think it's a two-week-long...
2 weeks?
It's not, like... It's a two-week-long festival in Kentucky, but it called, like, the end of it is the Derby.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I wonder what that looks like.
What do you mean?
Like, what does a festival for 2 weeks in Kentucky look like?
I have no idea.
God
like,
help
eating,
you.
Like, ribs? Is it... Is it down south? Like, would they be, like, having barbecue eating contests and, like, hot dog eating contests and, like, pie eating contests and, like, all of those things are what come to mind for me. Yeah. So anyways, neither Taniela or I watched this race because we were drinking wine in Niagara on the Lake all weekend, and it was on Saturday, so that was
also
not happening.
Also, I hate horse racing. Mm. I actually hate it more than golf.
Oh.
It will be the one sport you will never be able to convince me to watch.
I would never really even try because I don't have any interest in it either.
I mean, fair.
I've watched it here and there just because it's on, but I don't really have any interest in it. But the reason that this year's was particularly interesting is because, so the horse who actually won the race, like, crossed the finish line first, his name was Maximum Security, they have the weirdest fucking names for their horses.
Yeah, we should, like, honestly, we should post some of the most classic names, because, like, why do people name their horses like this?
I don't know.
What about Fred.
Yeah.
You know?
No, none of them are like that. They're all fucking weird. So Maximum Security was a 4-1 odds winner, which means, like, he was pretty high up there, right? Like, basically that means that if you bet on him, you would get 4 times your money if he won, right? I think that's how that works. So basically the race ended and he had crossed the finish line first, but then the stewards... which is this, like, I've learned this today. I was like, the heck is this word? So it's like a panel of, I guess, like, horse racing's versions of, like, referees, basically, who, like, implement all the rules and everything.
Oh.
And they, like, sit somewhere in the, like, horse racing stadium, but, like, out of the public eye, because, like, people, I think, would, like, attack them. Because there's so much, like, I'm totally speculating on that. But they specifically said that they're just, like, there somewhere, but, like, no one ever knows where they are. And that's the only reason I can come up with. Because there's so much money involved in this, right? Like, that's the whole purpose. Everyone's just betting on horses.
Yeah.
So I could imagine, like, in this specific example where they make this really controversial call, which I'm about to explain, people would be like irate and want to find them.
It's true.
So essentially what happened is there's a specific rule in the rule book. Let me find it. Okay, so a leading horse or any other horse in a race, if they swerve or are ridden to either side so as to interfere with, intimidate, or impede any other horse or jockey, they will be disqualified.
So it's basically like when people race, you can't go into someone else's lane.
Exactly. So basically it was on the final turn of like coming into the home stretch, like the very last turn of the race. And it was like a really like wet, muddy racetrack. It had been raining all day. So it was like really messy. And the jockey that was on Maximum Security said that like the fans like were so loud and screaming that it like kind of startled him, so he like moved a bit, but the jockey was able to like get him back in place. But I guess it was enough that like there were two horses that were sort of like impacted by it, and they like, I don't know, they were already behind anyways,
but
still.
When you look at the technicality of the rule.
Right. So basically, like, the horses finish, and then afterwards is when these stewards all, like, review the footage and, like, look into it. And but they always, like, wait to post the final result. So, like, everyone cheers that Maximum Security won, but everyone knows that, like, you still have to wait for the final, like, mm-hmm. places to be announced. And then I guess they determined that it was enough movement into the other lane that they disqualified him. And it's the first time that's ever happened in the history of the race, which has been like 150 years almost. So the second place horse ended up winning. Country House was the name.
Sorry.
And he was a 65 to 1 odds.
Whoa.
Which means anyone who bet him to win won 65 times their money. Again, presuming I'm explaining that right, that's how that would work.
What so, the fuck?
He was not expected to do well.
So he was the second most likely to win? Oh, no, sorry. He was just second place.
Yes,
sorry.
He was second place. He crossed the line second.
Wow.
He was not expected to win at all. So
someone made a lot of money that day.
Exactly. So now the, like, owner of Maximum Security is appealing the decision.
Freaking out.
The decision, whatever. The ruling.
Yeah.
Fair. Because they don't agree with it. And yeah, so now what this does is the whole thing with horse racing each year is the Triple Crown, which is if you win the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes. So you'd have to win all three to have, like, to be like a Triple Crown horse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this horse that ended up winning is, like, not really very good. So the chances of that horse winning the other two races is, like, pretty slim.
Right.
Whereas if Maximum Security had won, they were actually, like, a really good horse and they would have gone to all the other races. So now they're saying, the owner's saying that Maximum Security will not be racing at Preakness, which is in a couple of weeks, because they're like, what's the point if we can't win the Triple Crown?
So. People are so fucking weird.
I know. I mean, horse racing in general is weird.
So weird. I like how he's just like, no, I'm not taking my horse there.
Yeah, I know.
We can't win everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So the
also,
other thing.
I looked up the odds thing
just
while we're here. And so it's like, if you, for every $1 you bet, you'll get $4 back if you win. Or $1 you bet, you'll win $4.
So four times.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I thought. Just $1, like one, whatever you bet, you would have won 65 times that if you bet on this Country House.
Imagine
horse.
Throwing like just $5 on it because.
Right.
God damn
whatever
it.
5 times 65 is seems like it would be a lot.
Yeah.
I can't do math, but you know.
No.
Anyways, the other thing about this that was super weird and like obviously friggin' Donald Trump has to get involved is that he started tweeting about his feelings on this and how he feels like only in these days of political correctness could such an overturn occur. And he was so like
what?
So bold about how like this was not the best horse who won. And I'm just like, don't you have better things to be doing or slash like, more important things to be doing like running a country?
No, apparently not.
Like I don't understand.
I'm wondering why no one's taken his phone from him.
Right.
Like, just give him a toy phone. He probably wouldn't notice. He could just tweet and think he was tweeting.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't get released to the public. Because, I'm sorry, I don't know how political correctness changed whether a horse impeded on someone or not.
Right. I don't, like...
Yes.
They definitely
were, like, a Democrat, and they impeded on a Republican, and now this is a political decision.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I just hate him.
Yeah, I don't know.
That actually makes this whole thing worse. Like, I already am not a huge fan of, like, horse racing. And, like, this whole situation is, like, so eye-rolly because of how everyone reacts. And then Donald Trump is really, like, the chair.
Icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And when you search Kentucky Derby, like, one of the first articles from CNN that comes up is, like, Donald Trump tweets about the outcome of the Kentucky Derby.
No!
And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
No!
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, other than that... It's always fun to see everybody's crazy outfits.
Yeah, it's true. Like, that really is the highlight because it's one... I know, actually, at Woodbine in Ontario, when they do horse racing, some of the races, like the Queen's Plate, you have to wear a headpiece, like a fascinator for women. Like, you have to. Or a hat. So, like,
That's
I've had a couple
cool.
friends do it, and, like, you have to go buy, like, a cool hat.
Hmm.
So, it's really fun to see their outfits because some of these people are just so outrageous.
Yeah. Naturally. I mean, some of the people who I saw that were there, which apparently Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are like must make appearances every year. Like they go all the time. Not sure why. Our boy Baker Mayfield was there, like looking real questionable. Quarterback for Cleveland, if that wasn't clear. Just a really big beard on him right now.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. It's very scraggly.
Yeah, it's not cute.
He's making enough money, we can fix that.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely. Also, Von Miller, who is a defensive player for the Denver Broncos, just... Is he still? As I said that, I was like, wait.
That's a good question.
See? I think so.
I'll fact check that.
I'm pretty sure he is. But he just had a killer outfit. He had like this big, awesome hat. He always has really killer outfits.
He's so stylish.
He's super stylish.
Also, he owns a chicken farm.
Oh, I knew that. Because he was on Dancing with the Stars. So I like got to know a lot of things about him.
I really like him.
Yeah,
he's a really good person.
Yeah, he is. So, yeah, that's pretty much the Kentucky Derby in a nutshell. So, I mean, if anything changes with this appeal that they're doing,
we'll be sure to update you.
Yeah, we'll keep you guys updated. But my guess is that nothing will happen because, I mean, the video footage is, like, pretty obvious. Like, I watched it and I'm like, I'm not a steward or anything, but...
Are you sure?
But, like, when you watch it, like, he clearly, like, goes off to the side and the other horses have to kind of, like, wiggle a little bit to, like, move around him and then they get him back in. So, like, it's pretty straightforward, I think. But anyways, if anything changes, we'll let you know.
Okay. Well, that concludes pick six for the week.
It does.
Now we are going to hop into Top of the Pops because Meg watched the Billboard Music Awards and you have some thoughts.
I do. It was really fun.
Honestly, I also think it's like one of my favorite award shows because it actually is fun, but they get legit celebrities.
Yes.
Like sometimes I feel like all the fun music, like award ceremonies get no one.
Right.
Like remember the MMVAs when they were a thing and like no one goes to them.
Yeah.
Even though they're really fun. So, but like, I feel like Billboard is like the perfect, like the graph, like the two lines cross, like it's famous people and it's a decent award show.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to give like a super brief, speedy review of this because I feel like last time we did a review of an award show was the Oscars and it took like forever.
Or the Grammys when we went off rails and it was like a half an hour later.
Right. I can't remember which one came first. But either way, they were both long. So Billboard Music Awards. Gronk makes an appearance.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. So we talked about how he had retired and we weren't really sure what he was going to do. So he makes an appearance first. So he is a presenter there. But before that, he makes an appearance as a security guard where he's trying to kick Kelly Clarkson out and she's the host. So she's like sitting in someone's seat, like talking to, I forget who it was. Oh, the host of America's Got Talent. I can't think of his name right now. Mm. Anyways, she's like talking to him. No, it's somebody different now.
Oh.
Terry Crews?
Oh, maybe? Is that the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah. So he's the host. So anyway, she's sitting next to him, like, chatting with them, and then Gronk, like, comes walking down the aisle, like, dressed as a security guard and, like, tries to kick her out, and then it's, like, a whole big scene. She starts singing and whatever. It's a whole thing. Anyways, I just thought it was funny. Like, of all the things for Gronk to, like, make an appearance in, I was like, oh, Billboard Music Awards, here he is.
Hey, Gronk.
Also, Jonas Brothers reunion, I am all about the Jonas Brothers reunion.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a Jonas Brothers fan when they were, like, of their peak popularity, but I'm very much into their new stuff.
Right.
I'm into, like, married life Jonas Brothers.
Right. But here's what I'm still not understanding is why Kevin is there. So, in their, like, big Kevin performance, and it's this, like, big, like, the Jonas Brothers are performing, and it's a big thing. So it starts out with, like, Nick Jonas on his own singing Jealous, which is his own song. So he's singing it. Everyone's going ape over Nick Jonas because, like, duh, who wouldn't go ape over Nick Jonas?
So cute.
Then Joe Jonas joins him. Everyone goes ape again because, like, duh, Joe Jonas, who wouldn't go ape? And he sings, like, a bit of Jealous. And then they go into Cake by the Ocean, which is the song by Joe's band. I forget what it's called right now off the top of my head. But anyways, you all know the song Cake by the Ocean. So they sing that. So it's like the two of them rocking out. The girls are going crazy. And then like they start making their way to the main stage and it switches into Sucker, which is their like new song, like the Jonas Brothers
Such
all together.
A bop.
Such a bop. And might even be a bibbidi bop.
Oh, it's a total bibbidi bop.
Anyways, and so then Kevin's just like on stage waiting for them playing his guitar because like that's all he does. But like the camera pans to him and it's like the first like glimpse of Kevin and like no one does anything.
The crowd goes mild.
Yeah. So, like, and then they just sing, and, like, Kevin's, like, really rocking out hard, like, as hard as he can be on, like, Sucker by the Jonas Brothers. And, yeah, I don't think he sang at all. Like,
he doesn't usually, though, does he?
Well, I thought back in the day he used to at least sing, like, choruses or something. Like, I know he didn't really sing verses. But, like, even, like, I'm still just questioning why he was even in the band back then. But I guess just because he was the oldest, so, like.
Makes sense.
I don't know.
But I mean, he is a brother.
Right. But they also have a younger brother who's just not in it.
Yeah, he was, like, 4 when they were famous.
Yeah, but now he's not. They could have included him now.
You're just gonna throw a fourth Jonas brother in
there. I mean, he is a Jonas brother, so like it's only fair.
Technically. I mean, I don't know. Poor Kevin.
Like, I know.
He was the one who honored his purity ring the longest. Like, he had the short end of the stick. He's the least attractive of the three of them.
I've also heard that he's, like, really nice because since he wasn't quite as, like, famous as Joe and Nick and, like, girls didn't go as crazy, like, anybody who actually paid him attention, he was, like, so nice to them and so, like, appreciative of them, like, caring about him. I know.
That breaks my heart a little.
I know. But like during the performance the whole time, I was just like, Kevin, why are you here? Like, I just didn't really like genuinely get it from like a band perspective. Like, but I guess somebody has to play guitar, so it might as well be your brother.
Yeah, why put a fill-in when you could just put a Jonas brother in it?
Right, true. But anyways, that was my thoughts on that. Okay, people were going absolutely ham for BTS. Like, remember at the Grammys when I was like, they came up to present and nobody did anything and they were like...
They were so confused.
Right. But at the Grammys, it's mostly all artists and producers and writers and stuff like that. Whereas at the Billboard Music Awards, there's a lot of fans. So people were going ape at like all times for them.
They're awesome though. Like, they have some like catchy fucking songs. Their Halsey song is pretty fun.
Yeah, they performed that with her on the show. Yeah, it was good. I just haven't really like heard enough of them and like...
I'm also into their like rainbow mushroom cuts.
Yeah.
Yes. Like everyone has a different colored mushroom cut.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
You know?
It is. I'm wondering though, like since the Grammys, which were in what, January, February, have they actually gotten significantly bigger in the US? Or was it really just the difference in crowd, do you think, that made it?
I think it was the difference in crowd, but the song with Halsey has gone, like, it's, like, sitting really high on the Billboard charts, so I feel like this is the one that's really, like, getting them into the American market, but I'm kind of into the fact that, like, non-Korean people are learning Korean to, like, be able to sing along to their songs. Like, I think it's really cute.
Yeah, that is cool.
And it's kind of nice that it's, like, a little bit of diversity in the music scene.
It's true. Yeah.
But yeah, people are fucking obsessed. It's like, if you guys remember when Backstreet Boys were like the biggest thing ever and you watched their Black and Blue documentary that came out and they drove their bus through a crowd of people and like people were literally trying to climb on each other to get in.
So it's like, BTS. It's like the Beatles. Yeah. It's like the Backstreet Boys. It's like the Jonas Brothers. And now it's BTS. Like those are like some of the like marquee over the years groups. And like, yeah, BTS is just
people. And only one of those isn't like, I mean... a naturally English-speaking band. So it's pretty huge.
Right. Yeah. Next up, we're going to talk about Drake, because I friggin' love Drake, obviously.
Obviously.
He won several awards. I don't actually remember how many, but a lot.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure I read, though, that it was, like, 27.
Excuse me?
Yeah, because they have all those, like, other awards that don't get announced, right? So the number, like, seems crazy, but I feel like it could be legit. But I actually don't know for sure. Don't quote me on that.
Do you think that they, like... give you 27 awards, or do you think that they give you like, I don't know, a multiple of that and like maybe like five, and on each award they write like five more awards?
No, like there was a picture of him with like a whole stack of them lined up in front of him.
Oh, so you get them all?
I think so.
Where do you put them?
I don't know.
I'd probably throw most of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's clutter. I don't have time for clutter.
Yeah, that's a lot. But basically he won Male Artist of the Year, or Top Male Artist is how they, what they call it. And he just gave such a good speech.
Aww.
As he always does. Mm-hmm. He basically spoke about like how so many artists have like passed away over the past year, and like basically like they're all dying too young, and like while we're here, like we as artists all need to lift each other up, and like if you like someone else's music as an artist, like compliment them, because like you can never know how much that would mean to them, like right, like you might be someone, well I was definitely getting misty, like you might be someone that they look up to, and if you like their music and you tell them, like that could have such a big impact. And like it was just lovely. He's always so good at giving speeches.
I love Drake.
Yeah, it's lovely. So yeah,
but overall good award show.
Yeah, it was.
Who the else performances performed? Were Anybody? Good.
Lots of people performed. Halsey performed her own, like "Without Me." Is that the other song? And then apparently, I didn't read about this, but apparently she had some like Instagram post after that. This was like the last time she'd ever performed that song live on TV.
Why?
I don't know why. There must have been a reason, but I don't know what it is. It was a very like intense and like emotional performance. So I don't know if it's that, like if she was like too like wrapped up in it that she was like, "This is too much for TV." Like I got to do
like
more.
A lot
like
as a person.
Oh yeah, she is. But I think then she went and did the BTS performance, which is like way more like pop and high energy. So I feel like maybe she was just like, that's more my jam. I don't know. Yeah, so she performed, Kelly Clarkson performed her like song from the Ugly Dolls movie that's coming out.
Okay.
You haven't heard about it?
Sure.
It's a movie coming out.
Yeah, okay.
And she has like a main song in it. Anyways. Oh, I'm not even going to remember other ones. Well, Taylor Swift opened it up with her new song, Me. Oh, Panic at the Disco also performed Hey, Look, Ma, I Made It.
Yeah.
That song.
T-Swift was looking mighty colorful.
Madonna performed. Mariah Carey performed.
Sorry?
Yeah, Mariah Carey won like an Icon Award, so she performed like a mashup of like her greatest hits, and it was
great. She's got some fucking bops in her repertoire.
Yeah.
Did she sound good though? Because sometimes she's questionable.
No, she sounded pretty good. Oh, Ariana Grande performed Seven Rings.
Oh.
But no, sorry, Mariah Carey did sound good, but I still don't find her nearly as impressive as Jennifer Lopez.
Mariah Carey's vocal range when she was at her peak was untouchable. Like, she spans 7 octaves or something. Like, absolutely astronomical. Like, she's incomparable. But...
Personally, as, like, a viewer, like, of a performance, I don't find her nearly as impressive. Like, J-Lo has a good voice, and she, like, fucking kills the dance game. True. Whereas Mariah just, like, stands there and, like, gets lifted up.
She does just, like, prance around.
Yeah, she, like, doesn't do much. But she's obviously got a great voice. Like, that's not... And she's been around forever.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's so fun. That's the Billboard Music Awards in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, we'll hop quickly back into sports before we finish off with a little bachelorette. So just a couple of feel-good stories of the week to brighten your early Tuesday, Wednesday commute. So Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants football. There was a video released this week of him granting a Make-A-Wish. And it was super cute. They had, I think he was a 14-year-old suffering from cancer. The New York Giants invited him up to, I think, to announce some draft picks. And the kid was, his actual wish was to meet Saquon Barkley. So while he was up there announcing draft picks, Saquon Barkley actually like popped out and surprised him. And it was super cute. And the kid was obviously so excited. And then Saquon Barkley afterwards went on and said, like, you know, I know your wish was to meet me, but that's not what I'd want to do. Like, me and you, we're going to go out. We'll go to Six Flags if you want to. I have a whole day planned for us. Me and you, it's going to be great. And the kid was just like dying.
Oh my God, I'm getting misty. I know. Tell you yet.
It was so cute. The Six Flag comment. I'm like, I can't.
Oh, that's so cute.
So cute. You can totally Google it if you want to. The video is very cute. And I think the New York Giants ended up inviting him and his family to come to like a game and a practice and a whole thing. Make-A-Wish does absolutely magical work.
Yeah.
Like, just the best stuff. They work with some amazing companies, and the fact that, like, the athletes can make such a difference, like, this is the good part of sports, mm-hmm. you know? The other feel-good story of the week that I wanted to mention is that, just like a little random story, almost 8,500 people attended a Czech Republic versus Italy sledge hockey game.
What is a sledge hockey game?
So sledge hockey is for people who are either are paraplegic. It's hockey, but you're playing it strapped into a sled. So they no longer have working or fully functioning lower limbs, so they can't skate. So they're strapped into a sled, and they literally play with like a shortened hockey stick. But it's two of them, so they use them as picks to move themselves around, and they can play hockey. Or maybe it's one pick. I'm not 100% sure. It's actually an Olympic sport, or Paralympic sport. Canada is actually really good at it, but it's one of those things that doesn't get a ton of love because it's a Paralympic sport. But yeah, almost 8,500 people attended a Czech Republic versus Italy game, and it set a brand new world record.
Wow.
I was reading the story, and apparently only two gates were actually selling tickets, which obviously was not enough to accommodate the amount of people that wanted to go. So they let everyone in to go and watch, and then at the end, people went back and paid for their seats.
Aww. That's so nice.
Right? Like, it was just so heartwarming.
I wonder, like what, like, was there any, like, was it a special matchup?
I don't know. I mean, it was two countries versus each other, so that's probably a big deal, but I don't know what it was, but apparently it was, like, it sold the stadium out.
Wow.
So cute!
Yeah, that's so nice.
It makes my heart so happy. It probably meant so much to the players, too.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, very cool. Good on Czech Republic. I think it was in the Czech Republic where it happened. I mean, again, I hope this just, like, opens doors to more opportunities for, like, non-Big Four sport athletes.
Totally.
Because, like, sledge hockey players are, like, absolutely insanely talented. Because you're literally playing hockey while pushing yourself around with the exact same hands.
Mm-hmm.
So impressive.
Versus a second set of hands.
No, but versus, like, using your feet to propel you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine putting all of that into one?
Yeah.
I can't even throw a ball straight. Can you imagine adding more than that?
No. No.
It'd be a mess.
No.
Well, but
that's
yeah.
lovely. Those are two very nice stories. Okay, well, we will wrap it up with a brief reality review on The Bachelorette. So as Taniela mentioned, unfortunately, the bios are still not up, which means we cannot do a bio breakdown.
Unacceptable,
extremely
ABC.
Unacceptable.
I don't understand.
But what we wanted to let everyone know is that we're actually going to do a Bachelorette pool.
Woo!
And it's all set up. We want to give a shout out to our listener, Kathleen, who actually had the idea. She just asked if we were going to do a Bachelor bracket. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, we hadn't really thought about it. And then just seemed like it's been long enough since the March Madness bracket. It's been like a month and a bit. Not even.
We gave you 34 days off. It's about time.
Felt like time for another interactive activity. So yeah, shout out to her for the idea. We've set the pool up through Batch Bracket. So if you just Google Batch Bracket, the website will come up. And we have a league number. So it's, I mean, our league is obviously just called Cleats and Cocktails, but the league number is 39066.
We'll put all our info up on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if you want to search by that, you can. The style of the bracket is that it's first impression style. So basically, after the first episode, which airs next Monday, May 13th, you have to then... So at the first episode, they always send the first, whatever, 7 or 8 people home or whatever it is. So then basically, those people will be gone. So with the remaining, I think it's like 22 people or something like that, you then have to go through and choose each week who you think is going to get through. And you're going off solely first impression. So my advice would be while you're watching it to like make notes for yourself, like who got the first impression rose, like who else do you think made a good first impression? Who were your favorites? Like who do you think is going to go to the end? And then you can almost like work backwards from there. But basically before episode 2 starts on May 20th, which is the Monday of the May long weekend, you basically have to choose everything. All your picks have to be in and solidified. So it's basically like the same style as March Madness, where you have to make all your picks up front and then you basically lock them in and then that's it. And you just watch everything unfold.
I'm kind of into this style because it's like very level playing field. Like, I like the idea that it's just like, I like this guy and I'll throw him in versus other people that I'm like, you don't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that sucks is that they don't have the bios released because I was really looking forward to like breaking some of those job descriptions down.
Right.
But unfortunately that is not the case. So I guess we'll just talk about
next week. You potentially could. They'll have to be up by next week because next week it starts. So like you'll record next week's episode before the first episode airs. So you could always do a little breakdown depending what else is coming up on the pod next week. So
yeah, we'll see what happens.
So basically I think it's pretty straightforward. Like if you have to set yourself up a profile. You'll join our league. It's an open league, so that means anyone can join it. So you'll join the league, and then I'm pretty sure when you just click on like make my picks, it'll kind of walk you through. So it'll be like rose ceremony 1, and you just choose all the guys who you think are gonna get roses, and it will tell you how many to choose, and then you just go to rose ceremony 2 and you choose all your guys. So it seems pretty like straightforward. Should be able to figure it out. But if anyone has any questions about it, obviously you can email us or message us on Instagram or anything like that.
It'll be really similar to March Madness.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. So yeah, I feel like that kind of wraps us up for the week. As I mentioned, I am leaving on my trip on Wednesday night, which means that I will not be here for the next 2 weeks. So Taniela is going to have some guest co-hosts join while I'm gone. So that should be pretty exciting. New voice on the pod.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
If you guys have anything you want us to talk about in the next couple weeks with Meg gone, let me know. Wrestling. No. But make sure to follow us on Instagram, Cleats and Cocktails, Twitter, Cleats Cocktails. I'm no longer cheering for the Leafs because they're not in, much to Meg's happiness. And if you have any questions or if you have any suggestions, any opinions, and they're a bit longer than the typical Instagram DM, send us an email at cleatsandcocktails@gmail.com.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate and review, favorite, and that's pretty much it.
I think that wraps us up for the week.
It does. So I will talk to you guys again in like 3 weeks now. It's so weird.
Oh my God.
But you'll talk to Taniela next week. You'll listen to Taniela next week.
Can't get rid of me that easily, baby. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.